This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Kate, your eyes are looking even beadier than usual and you are a bit grumpy today.
What's that supposed to
mean?
Oh,
she's full of compliments. Told me I had a wrinkle in my forehead today.
I'll have you know, I got up at 6 a.m. I joined the 6 a.m. club. I know it's actually the 5 a.m. club, but I'm not cool enough, nor do I want to be a part of the 6 a.m. club because I had a 4 to 5 hour presentation that I had to do down at Port Adelaide, which is about an hour and a half drive from my house.
I have never heard so much about someone having to get up early. Yesterday it was our dad's birthday and Kate texted us all saying that we had to get to dad's extra early because she had to wake up early in the morning. And Dale gets up at 5:30 every day.
Yeah, it wasn't so much like because I had this presentation and everyone thought I was nervous about it, but it was more the fact that I don't like doing presentations and I struggle to get places on time. And my boss asked me if I could pick him up by 7:15. Now, this was a real struggle for me. So it was a lot of stresses. So I think I'm going to buy myself McDonald's on the way home.
Can I get a little violin out? Because Amy and I used to have to be at work by 6.
Oh, well, that really annoys me because you guys now work at home. So you don't know the displeasure of having to go through traffic.
But I do know it. I've done it for years on end.
Years on end.
Yeah, I also used to work in breakfast radio for about 6 months.
Anyway,
look, let's just move on from that. And Sophie, you have to admit to the podcast group what's happened with your car.
Well, I'm a bit ashamed to admit this. It is now the third time in my lifetime that my car has run out of petrol.
Do you know what I love? The fact that you've actually now got a jerry can in your car, because this is just a common occurrence
for
you.
The reason she has the jerry can in her car is because when Sophie and I were on a shoot, I think it was December 2019, I was driving her car and it just conked out. And it happened to be about a 1K walk to the petrol station. I bought it for her and rescued her.
Yeah, well, I'm so used to it now that I know the signs that it's about to happen. So,
petrol flashing.
Well, yeah, that's a massive sign. But I think there's that episode of Seinfeld where you're like, I can beat it. I can get there. So I was literally on the way to the petrol station and then I was driving along, anyone from Adelaide will know, Grange Road. It's a rather busy road. And all of a sudden my car started rattling and I'm holy fuck. So luckily I had Archie in the car. I pulled it to the side of the road and the petrol station was only an 800 meter walk. That's how close I was to making it.
Were you intending to go to the petrol station?
Yes, I was on the way to the petrol station.
I made the unfortunate decision to call Sophie at the time, unknowing that this was happening, and I was told that it was my fault because she had to drive to my house that week.
Yeah, well, it is my fault for not going and getting petrol. I will take that on board. So I think my new mission is whenever it is flashing or whenever I see petrol on sale, I've just got to be an adult and go and get it.
Looks like we're going to need some gas.
Oh, well, how much gas you think is in there right now?
Well, it's on E.
You know, look, oftentimes Jerry, he lends me his car and I find myself in a situation where the car is almost out of gas. But for a variety of reasons, I don't want to be the one responsible for purchasing costly gasoline.
Where is it now?
There's still some overlap between the needle and the slash below the E.
How low are you going to go?
Oh, I've been in the slash many times. This is nothing. You get used to it. Just put it out of your mind.
Ever been completely below the slash?
Well, I almost did once, and I blacked out. When I came to, the car was in a ditch, and the tank was full. I don't know who did it, and I never got to thank them.
Let's get into the social dilemma. And while everyone has been talking about Khloe Kardashian's bikini photo and the fact that she's been trying to get it wiped off the internet, we wanted to talk about how much we relate to this situation in terms of that horrible feeling when someone uploads a photo of yourself that you don't like. So it's been rumored that their nana, whose name's MJ, she uploaded this photo without approval. And I think we can all relate to when your parents upload photos from like a family event onto Facebook without you approving the photo. And that is absolutely the worst feeling possible.
Yeah, I love how they were trying to blame it on one of Khloe's personal assistants. is like, those assistants would know how to use Facetune and everything. It is clearly MJ that has uploaded the photo.
That's like your friend being like, oh, sorry, I didn't realize you're blinking in that photo that I've already put a filter on. Like, your friends know, assistants would know, your nana does not know.
I feel like we do have to point out that there was actually nothing wrong with the photo that she shared at all. She looked stunning in the photo, but I mean, obviously it doesn't have the filters and the lighting and everything else that their usual photos have.
Yeah, I keep wondering, did I see the right photo? Because someone posted it in our group, and if the Kardashians are listening, the post has gone because we don't want to be sued. But she looked beautiful and her body looked really good. So I was kind of shocked. I was like, is this the right photo?
Well, she has recently come out now and done a Facebook Live to sort of prove how good her body does actually look. And she did speak about how she is a human. She wanted everyone to realize that even though she's this huge reality star, these things do actually affect her. I mean, it would be so difficult. I can relate to it all being sisters and her being pointed out as the biggest sister. Mm. And she even said the ugliest sister.
Can you imagine if every time a family member posted a bad photo of you, you had to jump on your Instagram Live to be like, oh no, look, this is what my body really looks like. This is what I really look like.
It really did make me reflect though about the fact that you're kind of brought up to hate photos of yourself, because we all went out with our mum the other day and we had a waitress snap a couple of photos, and after we shared them to our group chat and literally everyone's response was, oh my God, I look disgusting. Ooh, I don't like how I'm sitting. And the sad reality is that when people like Khloe Kardashian or influencers use Instagram, they basically have a photo shoot beforehand to get this perfect image. So when two photos are snapped by a waitress and then you look at them, you compare yourself to people's really filtered photos and feel ultra shit about yourself.
The thing that is difficult to comprehend though is the fact that Khloe is sort of the victim and the perpetrator of this sort of behavior, because by playing into this ideal of beauty, she is putting that expectation on young girls who are following her. They look at her stuff and don't feel good enough. So if she actually just owned the photo, chucked it up on her Instagram as well and said, hey, not the best lighting, but this is me, I look great, I feel like so many people would have resonated with it more.
Well, what do you guys think in terms of this being a social dilemma? What do you think you can do if someone does post a really awful photo of you online? Can you ask them to take it down?
I definitely think you can ask to have a photo taken down. I do remember the first time there was an article in the Advertiser here about Amy and myself and the whole Channel 7 issue, there was this photo that I absolutely hated. And this journalist wanted to interview us, but I was more concerned with being like, could you remove this photo? It was literally taken when we were, I think, 20. And the Advertiser had done some story about us all working in a bar.
Yeah, so the photo was 7 years old or something ridiculous like that. And I remember being quite upset because all this personal information was being in this article, and Sophie just cracked the shits over the photo and she rung the journalist and demanded that they take the photo down. And it was so funny because the Advertiser, they do a morning print, so they had already printed the photo but they halted the print to change the photo, so half the newspapers in Adelaide got a more updated photo and the other half got this awful photo.
The best bit was I was cropped out of the photo because it was a photo of the three of us. I've got to say, Sophie, I don't really agree with you saying that you think that people should demand a photo to be taken down, because I'm on the fence with it, because I think it was wrong that the Kardashians asked everyone to take the photo down.
Well, I'm more talking about a situation for our listeners, because I do think it is different when you are a celebrity like Khloe Kardashian and there's so many photos of you out there. But if it's a time when someone at school is sharing a photograph of you, or you're in the local paper and there's not that much out there about you, I think you do have a right to ask for it to be taken down.
Well, the Kardashians were using the excuse that anyone sharing the photo was in breach of copyright, which I thought was really good. Like, that's a pretty good excuse. But most of the time when people share photos of you, it's ones that someone else has taken of you. So you can't even...
I don't think it was a good excuse, though. It didn't make sense.
Well, it wasn't a good excuse either, because in a DM where Kim Kardashian was writing this, she spelt copyright incorrectly.
And also, I was under the impression that as soon as someone uploads something to Instagram, Instagram owns the photo. So if MJ had uploaded the photo to Instagram, then I don't understand how any sort of copyright was infringed.
Well, back to the original point, what do you guys think someone can do in a situation? Do you think that they should just own the photo?
Look, I feel like the right thing to say is, oh, just embrace that photo of yourself. And I do think that someone like Khloe Kardashian should have done that. However, for normal people like ourselves, I feel like it kind of shows who your friends are in terms of when photos are uploaded, because it's absolutely the worst when you take a group shot and say someone uploads it and you're blinking in it, or it's a really obviously bad photo. I actually did see an influencer do this recently with her friend, and she looks good in the photo and the friend looks like ridiculous.
It's kind of like when a friend shares a birthday post and it's obviously a great photo of the friend, but then a terrible photo of the person whose birthday it is.
It's kind of like when you take a group photo and you only really look at yourself in the photo and you deem how good the photo is based on what you look like.
Oh, I've been guilty of that, but we've started this thing with our best friend where you'll send all of the photos you take to the group message and people will discuss which ones people are happy to have online. And we've tried to implement that with our mum, but sometimes it goes astray. And basically what we've agreed upon is that mum just doesn't tag us in any of the photos uploads.
Do you know, Sophie doesn't listen to those rules. Sophie just puts, she bangs up whatever photo.
Oh my God, you put the worst ones up of people.
Sophie, do you know what the funniest thing about Sophie is?
I love Sophie's face. If everyone can see it, she looks so
mad.
Oh
my God, I literally get painted with this brush over Instagram when you were the biggest perpetrator of this. You got karma though. It was so funny. When Amy was in Europe, and obviously with the time difference, I was going to bed and, you know, as you do, flicking through Instagram, and this photo of Amy popped up and I literally knew she was going to hate it. Her boyfriend shared it and it was a picture of her sitting in bed eating pizza, and she had literally very minimal makeup on, tracksuit pants, an oversized hoodie, and I showed it to Brandon and we're like, oh God, she's going to hate this.
This is like the only photo he has up on his Instagram of me. And apparently all of his friends loved it. They were saying, oh, if the perfect woman doesn't exist until now, I've seen this as a joke. But Sophie, can I say, the funny thing about Sophie is that every time she'll have a problem with a photo that we'll share, and she looks exactly the same in every single photo. I don't understand, like, one photo she'll love and she literally looks identical to another photo that she hates.
I don't think that's true.
It is funny what photos people like of themselves. And back to the boyfriend thing, Reese rarely posts on Instagram, and the two photos that I feature in, I feel have been badly filtered in terms of, they whack on the filter that Instagram provides. Like, they're not running it through Lightroom or anything. They're whacking it on. And also, I've noticed the photos he's uploaded look really pixelated.
That's like my boyfriend. He's a photographer, but he takes the ugliest photos of me. Like, they're always at these bizarre angles. Mm. And you're like, is that what I actually look like?
Men take photos from below for some reason, which is the double chin angle that you just don't want photos being taken at.
It's funny because I normally think, oh, influencers are so vain uploading all these photos and taking all these photos of themselves and obsessing over their image. But you know when you're on holiday and you actually do take photos of yourself? And I'm not talking about photo shoots. I'm talking about normal holiday photos. Or friends, whatever. And you're like, is that what I look like? Mm. And I can see why they get so hung up on their image that they do edit it, because it's so hard to look at yourself in all these different angles and poses and be happy with it. And I find it so sad that as women, we've been brought up to literally hate whatever we look like in a photo.
I think as well that what a lot of people have commented on is the fact that the Kardashians have airbrushed their photos so much that they are trying to live up to the expectation of those photos themselves.
Mm.
So they can't share content that is actually real because it just looks so unlike the Kardashians we now know.
If you keep seeing that everyone keeps taking advantage of you and advantage of you because you're just too nice, sometimes you gotta just let a bitch know and remind them who the f*** you are, so they're too afraid to take advantage of you.
Let's get into the influencer rap. And Skye Wheatley has started a hot debate on her renovation page when it comes to where a towel should hang in the bathroom.
So where to put your towel rack, basically.
Yeah. So Skye shared a photo of her newly renovated upstairs bathroom. And instead of everyone going, oh my God, it looks amazing, people were like, why is there a towel rack hanging next to the toilet?
So where was the toilet in the bathroom? How close was the towel rack?
Well, the photo was a little bit deceiving because she kind of just took it off the toilet and the toilet paper holder and the towel rack. So basically, if you're sitting on the toilet, the towel rack is literally next to you. Wow. So some people thought that that was just a singular bathroom, and they're like, hang on, why has the toilet room got a towel rack in it? But it was actually a main bathroom, so there was also a shower and a bath and a vanity in there. And Skye explained quite condescendingly that there was literally no other place to put the towel.
To be honest, my boyfriend's just happy if I put the towel back.
Oh my gosh, this is an ongoing argument for Sophie and Brandon, and I totally side with Brandon, because after sharing a bathroom with you for 2 years at Grange, Sophie does not know how to hang a towel up. And also, she doesn't know which one her towel is.
Well, it gets to a point where we wash our towels and then we have quite a few. And then across the week, we then end up sharing one towel, which is probably even more unhygienic than having it near a toilet.
Yeah, because Sophie won't hang it up, so you go to use a towel and it's sopping wet. Anyway, well, people were saying that they were scared that the poo particles would go onto the towel. I've got a throw to Skye's clip because it was actually quite hilarious what she said.
Sorry, normally I wouldn't be a bitch, but I'm hormonal and pregnant and I feel like I'm allowed to be. So I just wanted to show you guys something. Don't judge me, this bathroom's really, really, really messy. But here is the toilet. Here is the towel rail holder. Right next to the toilet. In the bathroom. I'm gonna leave that there. Now I'm in the upstairs bathroom. I'm gonna give you guys another tour. Okay, ignore the mess again. Let me just do a quick pan of the bathroom, okay? Yeah? Yeah? Cool. All right, so now that we've cleared that up, where would you like me to put the towel rail other than where we put it, which I think is actually really perfect? And if my poo particles are traveling that far, then my lord, they need to be in the Guinness World Book of Records for the longest traveling poo particles on Earth. The only way that poo is going to get on my towels is if I stood on the toilet to do a shit. Okay? Right? Also, someone made a comment that the toilet roll holder is too far in front of the toilet. Sis, I barely have to extend my arm. It is perfect. Okay? Thank you so much for your concern. I'm going to be the only one shitting and pissing on my toilet. So thank you.
There was also another criticism that the toilet roll holder was too far away from the toilet, so you'd have to reach too far. And it's hilarious because in the video, Skye shows how she can easily get the toilet paper off. I'm like, this is so hilarious. Like, this is the degree of nitpicking that's going on.
Do you know what I don't understand? I don't know why they don't just join in and have a laugh about it.
I know. Well, she was having a bit of a laugh, but then she was getting really defensive as well. And she explained that she was really hormonal from being pregnant. But it also made me think, can people not take any constructive criticism online?
Yeah, I suppose if you just had your whole bathroom renovated, you're not really expecting people to pick on your towels. But yeah, really, but are you not? They pick on everything. But the thing is, I'm with the people that are complaining about the towel being too close, because I've seen all those videos where they say, so basically you're not meant to keep your toothbrush too close to the toilet either, because when you flush it, the poo particles do go flying. So
just a warning, we're talking about poo for anyone
Does anyone actually hang their towel? I know we've discussed that I don't hang my towel up, but if I am inclined to hang it up, I usually just throw it over the shower.
Oh my gosh, this frustrates me so much because I'm having flashbacks to living with you. No, I literally am an adult and I fold my towel back over the towel rack where it's meant to go. It's not even hard. It's like making your bed in the morning.
Yeah, but I've got the same issue in my bathroom. Then I have to get out to get the towel.
What?
Yeah, my towel rack is quite far from the shower.
No, this is what you do, Sophie. In the morning, I get my towel off the towel rack and I hang it over the shower.
Yeah.
So then when I get out, I can easily reach it, don't have to be cold, pull my towel around myself. Then once I've dried myself, I put it back.
Yeah, so why not take that step out and just hang it up on the shower?
Sophie looks so confused right now because it looks awful. Well, I want to hear what everyone else thinks. Do you guys think it's actually weird to have a towel rack right next to the toilet?
And where do you hang your towel rack? Do you actually put your towel back?
Yeah, so head to our Facebook community and tell us what you guys think.
I'm really woke now, so don't say anything offensive, like on my Facebook or whatever. Don't leave anything in the comments that I will, if it's offensive, I will fucking come for you. Seriously, I'm really woke.
Moving on, and this announcement made my whole week. Chris Lilley has brought back Jemay King and she has her very own podcast called Jemazing.
I listened to this on Wednesday morning and I feel like she's definitely taken some inspiration from a certain podcast that we won't mention, but I had a big laugh over it.
This is an influencer podcast you're talking about?
Yes.
Well, because those who might not have listened, they might not know. Now, Jemay is actually an influencer now. She's 20 years old. She's also a uni student who is studying PR, which I also had a bit of a chuckle at considering we do PR. And she is on the hunt for a rich, fugly boyfriend.
And she's also very woke now.
I really felt like this was Chris Lilley's way of poking fun at all the woke people that have tried to cancel him.
Oh, definitely.
Did you guys see that the podcast was number one in Australia?
I was so happy for Chris Lilley because we are OG fans. We absolutely loved We Can Be Heroes. I think we were, you know, that first batch of fans, like everyone seemed to jump on when he was doing
Summer Heights High.
But yeah.
It's quite interesting that he has chosen to go out on his own. I do wonder if it is because streaming services won't have him on board.
Oh, I definitely think it's because he's been removed from Netflix that he's decided to go independent. And while a lot of his characters haven't aged well, I think Jermaine was a character that can stand the test of time. And we have been saying for so long that we think Jermaine would have grown up to be an influencer. So it's bloody brilliant that she's back.
It's pretty perfect because obviously a number of his characters have faced criticism, but I feel like with Jermaine, it's the perfect one because who's going to have a go at someone who is white and privileged?
Exactly. And I feel like he is shining the light on those people, which is, I think, the frustrating thing with some of his characters because there is a sense of people forgetting it's a mockumentary and it's a commentary on what was going on at that time.
Well, it's a bit like with John Cleese when an episode of Fawlty Towers got removed, and it was the episode where Basil was talking about the war and he was also being very racist towards a black doctor, and he was saying everyone was laughing at Basil because Basil was so out of touch. We were actually holding a mirror up to society and saying this type of behavior is wrong.
And yeah, this character is a dickhead and we don't agree with what this person is doing. Anyway, back to Jermaine, I think it's so interesting to see Chris Lilley's take on influencers because obviously being people that consume influencer content all the time, I do think he missed the mark a little bit in some of the words he used.
Yeah, well, because Chris Lilley has confirmed that Jermaine is actually a 20-year-old now, she has now fallen in the category of a Gen Zer as opposed to a millennial. And I feel like he was using quite millennial words instead.
Yeah, well, fugly was a word that was used a lot when we were at high school. And I suppose that was the time that Jermaine was apparently at high school. So I also thought in terms of words and different food and stuff she was referring to that she should have said she was drinking spicy margs. Like that's
or
such
kombucha.
Yeah.
I feel like we should be writers and help Chris Lilley out with it because with that would be such a dream come true.
Maybe we should reach out to him. Maybe he needs our input. So we've actually have put together some Gen Z words because I thought that we could all do with a bit of a laugh.
Yeah, well, these are words that we think Jermaine King should have used.
So the first one, I keep hearing this on YouTube and also on TikTok. It's hits different. Do you guys know what this means?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Well, for those who don't, it's a positive phrase that emphasizes how good something is. For example, my coffee at home is good, but Starbucks hits different.
Yeah, I can see Jermaine using that.
What about thriving? I always hear, I'm just thriving.
Yeah, this one is thrown around all the time. It's one that YouTubers use a lot to basically say how fabulous their life is going and that everything, you know, I'm thriving.
Yeah, I did almost feel like Jermaine should have been a little bit more focused, not so much on being ultra skinny, but she should have been focused on like being a gym junkie and getting things done.
Big bum maybe.
Yeah, and also being more holistic.
Another one that I feel like is thrown around a lot is the word vibe. And because we're very, you know, with the Gen Zers and know what's up, I feel like we know what it means, but a lot of older people don't.
Yeah, I had to explain to Dale because I said, oh, that's a vibe. And he's like, what on earth does that mean?
So it means a vibe describes the overall mood or situation or the aura of something.
What about how Mum didn't know what shook meant? So Sophie wrote in our Facebook community that she was shook about something and Mum's texted her and goes, oh, Soph, I just wanted to let you know that you spelt shock wrong.
Well, I feel it's fairly obvious, but when you say you're shook, it means you're shocked or surprised.
Yeah, like something so big's happened that you're shook by it.
Now, let's do a quick speed round of these because I have a few to finish up on. Now, on TikTok, when someone uses the cake emoji, what does that mean?
Oh, I don't know.
Is it someone's birthday? I'm just joking.
No, it actually refers to a thick, juicy booty in a positive light.
Really? What? A cake?
A cake.
Is that because you eat cake to get a big booty? Is that what it means?
I assume so.
Was it like you're a nice slice?
Oh, I don't know. What about when someone uses the phrase wig?
A wig. It reminds me when I keep telling you to keep your wig on. I think that was on Kath and Kim.
I feel so old. I don't know what that is.
It refers to the idea that what you saw was so amazing and incited so much shock in you that your wig flew off. So it kind of is really? Along the same sort of lines.
Oh, so you're like, that's so wig.
The other one is either the clown emoji or the use of the word clown, clowned, or clowning.
Isn't it just if someone's being a dickhead, like you being a clown?
Well, it's basically being made a fool of, or it's very self-deprecating.
Oh, yeah, that one's obvious. I know that one.
Wait, so you'd say to somebody, like if someone wrote a comment and they said, do they just say clown or they just use
the
clown?
No, they just use the clown emoji. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're up with it, Kate. I will finish on this one. It's very prevalent. It's I'm doing hot girl shit.
Is that from Hot Girl Summer?
Well, it's actually a trend on TikTok now, and the term came from Megan Thee Stallion. Basically on TikTok, people are putting up videos where they are showing themselves doing non-hot things and then saying, I'm doing hot girl shit.
Oh.
Okay, so it's like a bit of a payout.
Yeah. I feel like that's what Jemay should be doing. She should be having her hot girl summer. She should be doing hot girl shit. Yeah. I think that would be great.
Look, if Crystalie is listening and you need our help, it would be an absolute dream if you'd hit us up because we are happy to be producers on your podcast.
Oh my God. Or we should try and get Jemay on the show. How good would that be?
Yes, let's try and do that.
It'd be a good influencer interview, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Wow. Moving on, and I'm so excited about this. Netflix have revealed they are launching a show called Byron Bays. So it's Bays, B-A-E-S. Now, it is a Netflix original doco soap, which was produced by the people that make MAFS and Housewives of Sydney. God. Basically, it's a show that follows the life of Byron Bay influencers. It kind of sounds a bit like Laguna Beach.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy? It's the first Australian reality show that's ever been commissioned by Netflix.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, it's been described as a feed of hot Instagrammers living their best lives, being their best selves, creating the best content.
Oh, my God. Who do you guys think will be on it? Because there's already been a hot rumor that Elise Knowles and her boyfriend will be on it.
What about Ruby Tuesday?
No, she's already come out on her Insta story and said she's not going to be on it.
Damn it.
Oh, I'd love to see Ruby Tuesday Matthews on there. I don't know if Elise Knowles would be that entertaining. She's got a kid now. Not that doesn't make you entertaining, but I feel like she won't be as out there.
I feel like a lot of the Byron Bay influencers are those like mummy vloggers. So I wonder if it's going to be that type of vibe.
Yeah, no, they've already come out and said that the term is murfers, so mummy surfers, aren't really going to be in it.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I'm kind of happy about that because I think that could be its own reality show. Mm. Kind of could be like Housewives of Byron Bay. This one I think should be about young influencers, which it sounds like it's going to be.
It just reminds me of the Inspired Unemployed when they did that video of a school teacher calling out all the Byron Bay kids' name. It's like, Kombucha, where are you, Birkenstock?
Oh, I cannot wait. Did they say when they're releasing it?
No, they haven't put a release date yet, but it's going to be epic. Can you imagine if they got Zac Efron and his girlfriend to be on it? I mean, she's kind of an influencer, isn't she?
You know what, though? I want to see people who are unaware, though, of the television making process. As in, I feel like Zac Efron and his girlfriend would be too switched on. I just want to see these people in their raw, real element.
Yeah, a bit like Jersey Shore, Geordie Shore style.
And you know, I've always said that I feel like a lot of YouTubers and influencers actually need someone to go and edit their content because, you know, as we've always said, Sammy Robinson will have a video where she's unstacking the dishwasher for 10 minutes. Imagine someone that's professional coming in, clipping up the most exciting moments.
And also setting up events. Like, okay, we're doing a brand launch here and we're actually going to film it other than, oh, I forgot my camera at the brand launch. Yeah. Here's me the day after hungover.
But the other thing as well, it's safe to say that the producers will be trying to kind of make fun of the influencers, I assume.
I hope so. I hope that is the tone, that it's a bit tongue-in-cheek.
It's going to be interesting to see if they do pick some micro influencers because we saw Harry Jowsey from Too Hot to Handle. He's just exploded after being on Netflix.
Sounds gross.
And I don't mean in a gross way, but it'll be interesting to see if some of these influencers get even more followers.
They obviously will.
Do you think, though, I know we've obviously spoken about how pages like Celeb Spellcheck are holding influencers to account and it feels like more of a trendy thing to kind of hate on these people.
Mm.
Do you think that that's what this show will be like? It'll be, as we were touching on, a bit of an eye roll at these people. Well, so maybe they won't actually get that much out of it.
Maybe. Well, it's funny you say that because I read an article from Pedestrian TV and the journalist said that she's going to tune in to hate watch it, but she feels like she'll end up getting sucked into the storylines.
Yeah, that's what I feel like it will be. You know, on Real Housewives of Sydney or Melbourne, you get sucked in because at first you're like, these rich bitches. And then you're like, oh my God, I love this one. And I'm on this one side. Yeah, I think it's going to be like that. And I am living for it.
Let's get started with the roll. Sapphire.
Present.
Cedar, are you here today?
Yeah.
Soil.
You.
Hemp.
What?
Oh, yep, yep.
Surf out the past and art.
Earth and Atlas, you be quiet right now, please. That's your last warning. Kale. Is Kale here today?
Kale's at home with Opal. I think Venus gave him the flu.
Late again, are we, Birkenstock? Sit down now.
Now, moving on. We discovered that our dad is going to have Megan Passetto from So Dramatic shaking in her boots because he has provided quite a recap of this week's episode of Maths.
Mm. Now, for someone who claims that they don't like Maths, Dad was able to go into immense detail. He was even able to name a lot of the people on the show, which I was pretty impressed with.
It really reminded me how when we were younger, he used to complain that we watched Neighbours, and then we found out he actually taped it to catch up on the episodes.
Now, Dad didn't know that we were recording, but here's some of his thoughts on Patrick and Belinda's date.
Super surprised for you, and he had this box wrapped up. And he didn't know how to tie a bow on it.
Yep.
So I spent half an hour tying a bow. Mum said to me, you wouldn't know how to tie a bow.
Tie a bow?
And he presents it to her, and it was a bloody T-shirt with Maths written on it, the front, and her name, Belinda, and number one on the back. She said, oh, it's a jersey. I said, no, it's a fucking T-shirt. And then he took it on a surprise date to this oval, and they were supposedly interviewing her in the middle of the oval. Oh, I'm so excited, I don't know what's going to happen. Then a brass band and cheerleaders appear behind it and starts doing this. And then he walks on and starts trying to do backflips and stuff.
Oh, God.
And he couldn't do them. And then what else? Then the cheerleader sat up sign said, Belinda, Belinda.
Oh, my God.
It was so embarrassing. I was cringeworthy. Then they were in the bath and I had to shut the door.
Now, Megan, if you do want him for special comments and you're listening, just hit us up. We actually think that Dad could do an incredible podcast of him just recounting what has happened on reality TV shows.
Yeah, Clementine Ford, you know, her recaps are good, but Dad, maybe he can have his own niche audience. Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. We hope you have an amazing weekend. Thank you so much for joining us again.
And if you have enjoyed today's show, could you please make sure that you are subscribed and leave us a 5-star rating? We are so appreciative of all of the people who have been leaving such amazing reviews, and it really does make our week.
Also, please make sure to tag where you're listening to the podcast. We love seeing those photos pop up.
And join us in our Facebook community. We are at Outspoken, the podcast community. We'll be putting threads in there discussing all of the topics from today.